Is it a fashion violation to mix blue and black? What works best and why? A two-button or three-button suit jacket? And how do you navigate the trousers-sock-shoe nexus? Men's fashion is fraught with pitfalls, but Bruce Boyer, former menswear editor at Town & Country, has some simple advice for beginners. If you like it, wear it. In his new book, True Style, Boyer traces the history of modern dress, from the evolution of the suit to the origin of Levi's to the celebrity who made eyeglasses fashionable. Also joining us for some style advice and to tell us about his program to outfit ex-offenders with new clothing, Baltimore tailor Christopher Schaefer. That's Midday, coming up after the news from NPR. And welcome back to Midday, our second hour. Thanks again for joining us. Dan Roderick's here. They say dress for success or dress for the job you want, not the job you have. Famed designer Coco Chanel famously recommended that before leaving the house, one should check a mirror and remove one accessory. It's hard to know how to dress for all occasions or even every day for some of us, especially if you don't have confidence in your clothing. Should you try to follow trends? Are fashion rules set in stone and made to be broken? Whether dressing for function, self-expression, or simply the weather, our guest today has a simple saying, if you like it, wear it. Not that that is all he has to say on the subject. He has a lot more to say. G. Bruce Boyer, an expert on men's fashion. He served as menswear editor for Town & Country. He has contributed to Esquire, Harper's, the New York Times, and has written books on the art of the outfit. One called Elegance, A Guide to Quality in Menswear, Eminently Suitable, The Elements of Style in Business Attire. And the newest work, the reason why we have Bruce on the show today, True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear, published by Basic Books. Bruce Boyer, welcome to the Midday Show here on WYPR.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's wonderful to be with you.
And also joining us today, an extra treat, Christopher Schaefer with us, Baltimore tailor, soon celebrating 5 years as Christopher Schaefer clothier in Fells Point. I almost called you Christopher Taylor. I guess, well, actually, your Twitter handle is...
It's Chris the Taylor.
Yes. Chris Schaefer with us in the studio here today. And also, Chris is the founder of the nonprofit Sharp Dressed Man, which helps people, men coming out of prison, get outfitted in some nice clothing, secondhand clothing, but good stuff. And you're going to tell us about that during this hour of the show, Chris. So nice to have you with us, too.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
I want to share an observation with Bruce Boyer and with Chris Schaefer. Today, I was in driving to work in Baltimore. I was in slow traffic on Greenmount Avenue, and I saw a man. I'm going to call him a gentleman because of how he was dressed. He had slacks of maybe mustard, a rustic mustard. I'm not sure which mustard it was, but it was a nice mustard. It was eye-catching. He had a brown double-breasted jacket on with a square in the pocket. A pocket square, and a tie that matched, from what I could see. I couldn't make out the shirt exactly, but he looked really spiffy. I could not make out everything that he had on. A nice pair of shoes. It was 8:15 a.m. The sun was coming up, and the sun was already up, but it was behind him, and he looked really splendid walking down the street. I mean, he really stood out. And I even rolled the window down and waved to him, and he smiled back at me. He had no idea what I had on my mind. What I had on my mind was the show today. But, you know, whether you're looking for it or not, men who dress like that and work at it a little bit really do stand out. And Bruce Boyer, really, that's what it's all about, no?
Well, the first thing that I thought of when you were describing this fellow is he certainly was dressed appropriately for autumn in Baltimore,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, he had the right colors on, you know, mustards and camels and grays and greens. I mean, those are the colors you want. But yeah, absolutely. What I always say is because you know. And I think there have been a lot of studies about this, that most of our communication is, in fact, nonverbal, you know. And what I keep telling people is, you know, close not only talk, but they never shut up, you know. And the thing about that is, if you don't hear what they're saying, either you're not listening closely enough, and in social situations, you're going to have to pay the penalty for that. You know, you're just oblivious, but you certainly should listen carefully to what clothes are saying, because they're always talking about you.
You see, I attached the word gentleman to that man right away, just based on the clothes he wore from, you know, 25 yards away from me.
People judge a book by its cover.
Well, true, but some people want to be a little more modest and don't stand out as much, and mainly out of caution, I think, about how you dress. Wouldn't you agree with that, Bruce?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are, and maybe this is something, you know, that we should get into. I was looking at a review that somebody gave me in Maclean's, the Canadian magazine. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, you know, Boyer is interested more in tools than in rules, which I thought was a wonderful way of putting it, because I think there are any number of things that a guy can do to make him more presentable. You know, generally, what I think about clothing and the rules and so forth, and maybe I think about it this way because I used to be a professor of English, and I used to teach a writing course, and tell the students, you know, it's still perfectly true that whatever the rules say and however they change with the times, that there are certain general things that you have to follow, and there's a kind of an approach to appropriateness, you know, that the language that you use should be appropriate to the purpose of what you're doing, and to the audience that you're doing it for, and to the occasion. And I think with clothing, it's the same thing. You know, mm-hmm. if a guy says to you, "Well, you know, there's this occasion coming up. Do you think I can wear a pair of swim trunks?" And you want to say to the guy, well, if you're going to the beach, yeah, but if you're going to a ballroom dance at the country club, probably not, you know.
So the motto, if you like it, wear it. Yeah, it's true, but there is such a thing as propriety. There are limitations, right, Bruce?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you say in the book, do I really want to see my stockholder or my cardiologist wearing cargo shorts and a T-shirt?
Right, and the answer is probably not. You know, the guy that I entrust my money to, my banker and my stockbroker, these guys wear ties when I go to see them, and I like that. It gives me a sense of confidence that they're serious about how they're going to deal with my money. You know, I really don't think that I would trust somebody who wasn't dressed appropriately. I don't mean dressed like a fashion dandy or anything like that, but I think you're absolutely right. There are proprieties, and the problem is that in this day and age, things are very, very fast. They happen very quickly. You know, you have a meeting with some guy in Toronto, and then you get on a plane and you're off to Dubai or, you know, London or whatever to have another meeting. And it I think it would be great if we could really look into the souls of people or into their brains and figure out who they really were. But we can't. You know, you have to make snap judgments about things. And I think we should make it easy for people to make snap judgments about us. You know, if you're a very good accountant or a very good orthopedic surgeon, I think you ought to let people know that. And one way you let them know it is through your appearance. You know, I'm very fond of quoting something that this great epistolary writer of the 18th century, Lord Chesterfield, said. He said, you know, in society, it's probably better and makes more sense if we take people as they are than as they really are.
Let me ask Christopher Schaefer a question about what Bruce is describing here. When you have a customer come in,
yes.
Say a new customer, someone you don't know, so you need to know who that person is and what their needs are in order to serve them as a tailor, right?
Absolutely. That's a big part that goes into my work is getting to know the person and how they want to portray themselves. And that all goes into the design and the fit of the clothing as well. I mean, you could take we do a lot of work with just, you know, gray, solid, navy, solid suits, but you could make that as conservative or as outlandish really as you want when you get into stitching and button options and really the fit. I mean, the fit kind of says, the fit is the best way to be able to take clothes and that says a lot about you. If your clothes don't fit you properly, that's also going to the snap judgment. It kind of says something about you just not understanding proportion and not understanding how to put a look together.
You know, with the casual revolution that's occurred here, you know.
What revolution?
Yeah, well, it seems like there's so many casual this and casual that. So many people in office places. You know, I'm a newspaper guy, and the newspapers that I started in, men wore neckties and women wore dresses and suits in the first newsrooms that I was in. You were expected to wear a necktie, at least a sport coat, if you couldn't afford a suit to cover a court case or wherever they sent you. You didn't know where you were going to be, so the newspaper wanted you to present that way. Now it's become a lot more casual. With that, I just wonder, when you style clothing for somebody, say, in their 20s, a millennial, somebody in their 20s or 30s,
sure,
is a professional and needs a suit,
right,
they want a little touch of maybe not the casual, but something that reflects
their personality. A current
trend. Well, their generation.
Well, that goes back to the fit. You know, that goes back to the fit, is if you're dealing with someone who's, you know, if they're young, they're thin, they want their clothes more fitted right now.
I've noticed that.
It's very much the style. But that's also goes back to, you know, the time of, say, the early 60s. You know, that look from 50 years ago is still very relevant now.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to do something that's sprayed on you. There's the nuances of when something is actually made for you, it should look like it. And it doesn't have to be flashy. It can just be classic and just fit you right. And then you feel great in it and you have the confidence.
I want to ask you if you agree with this statement from Bruce Boyer from his book, clothes should not be more memorable than you are.
I'm going to have to disagree.
Let's hear from Bruce Boyer a little bit first.
Okay.
And then we'll go back to Chris. So what do you mean by that, Bruce?
Well, what I mean was, you know, some guys have the impression, and I think even more women have the impression, but I don't want to get into a quarrel with the gals, but a lot of guys feel, well, they'll go out and they'll buy a really magnificent shirt or a magnificent tie or whatever it is. And so you get this thing and you wear it to the party that night. And after you leave, everybody says, gee, did you see that great shirt that Dan was wearing or that great tie that Dan was wearing? And my question is, well, that's all well and good, but did they see you, Dan? You know, they remembered your great-looking tie, but the whole point of dress is to make you look better. For example, if you don't mind, Dan, I wanted to ask Chris a question because I've always said that a really good tailor, in fact, a tailor that kind of separates the real master tailors from the rest, that a really good tailor is part cosmetic surgeon and part psychiatrist.
Absolutely.
You agree? Excuse me, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I've called you both gentlemen. We need to take a break here.
Okay.
Because it's the first day of our fall membership drive at WYPR. What I want to hear more from Chris on that question from Bruce, okay?
Absolutely.
Christopher Schaefer joining us from Fells Point, where he has a tailor shop, and Bruce Boyer, author of True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear. I want to get into some of the history, too, with Bruce when we get back after this short break, just to remind you that we are trying to raise money for WYPR today. This is the first day of our membership drive. And Andy Beanstalk and Sheila Cast, my colleagues, are standing by to tell you how to do that. With G. Bruce Boyer, expert on men's fashion, who's written a lot about men's fashion. He was menswear editor at Town & Country. His latest book is True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear, and classic key there to this. And I want to talk to Bruce about classic style. But then we'll go back to Christopher Schaefer, Baltimore tailor, who's with us in the studio to answer that question. You seem to readily agree with Bruce.
Absolutely.
That a tailor is part psychiatrist, part cosmetic surgeon.
That's the part that I love about what we do.
What's the psychiatrist part?
Well, it's, you know, we'll have people that will come in the door, and some of them have a style of their own. Some of them, you kind of have to help them along a little bit more, but you have to know the person so that you can then go and start their wardrobe from where they are and then help them to build it. So we look to work with people for a long time and really build a wardrobe out with clothes that interact with each other, but you have to have a starting point and you have to know, who is that person? What do they do? How do they like to dress? How do they want to be perceived? It sort of goes back to what he was saying about, you know, you're kind of dressing for your profession, but you also want to infuse your personality of who you are also. And that can be done with just a little bit of detailing to it. So, but I really like the part of getting to know my clients. It's really enjoyable. If you like people, it's great business.
Christopher Schaefer, will you do me a favor and describe what you're wearing today? We're on the radio, so
okay.
Take a moment. This helps Bruce understand who you are.
Okay. all right. So I am wearing a three-piece suit. It is Dorme fabric. It is navy with a lavender window pane in it. It is a, it's a two-button notch lapel jacket. I'm wearing it with the vest is a four-button with a scoop on it.
Scoop meaning it's not a V.
It's not a
scoop,
V. It's
right?
A scoop, yeah. It's a scoop on the vest. It has functioning buttons on it with different color. It has a little bit of different color stitching. Match the window pane in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the shirt. The shirt that I have is kind of interesting. It is.
It's not paisley, but
it is paisley.
It is paisley.
It's,
okay.
It's aqua, yeah. And it's lavender, and it's navy, and it's all kinds of interesting colors. But you only see the touches of it in on the vest and around my neck, and then the touches of it here. So it's something kind of different. Like that's the thing with what I do. I can dress as conservative as I like, but I also. My background is that I'm a musician, and so we have a stage set up in my
a play. Rock musician, a drummer once upon a time, right?
Still am, yeah. I actually was just rehearsing. We have a stage set up in my place, and I play in a band, and we rehearse there, and we have shows at our place. And we're taking a little bit of a different spin on this, but I understand the conservative part of it and the classic look of it. And I'd lived in London, and I get the studious professor look that he has. And
Bruce Boyer.
It works for him.
It does, you know, and
it
I
works.
See, when I look at Bruce, photographs of Bruce, because I haven't met him. I'd
you
like
were
to
saying
meet.
Off air, you think he's very handsome.
I was, yeah, why, wit, wait,
oh, wow.
What, did I say handsome?
You said dashing, something like that. I
think he's a great-looking guy with wonderful eyeglasses, especially, an excellent beard, and I love the clothes he wears. I like how
he looks
in those clothes, but it is classic. Like, I'm looking at a photograph of Bruce sitting in a leather chair in a tailor's shop, and it looks like a blue blazer, but it's better than what I would call a blue blazer.
You're taking a classic look, but when you're what you're seeing is quality.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between something that is just a navy blazer with a flat navy fabric and your brass buttons on it, and it's your stock issue. I just got out of college and I'm going to wear this all, and I'm going to throw it with a pair of khakis. That's not what he's rocking right there. And
then
he gave it his pop of color with the socks, and it's like, and
Bruce,
he knows what he's doing.
Those aqua socks? Are they aqua? What do you, would you call
they're
those?
They're aqua socks.
Are they?
You guys are making me
What
blush
color
over
is that?
Here,
is that teal? Know? What is that?
I would say it looks, from the screen, it looks like it's a light blue, aqua color.
Okay, and Bruce, the, you know the photograph I'm referring to, it looks like, I can't tell, is that an olive tie and the khakis with a pair of really nice-looking loafers?
That's suede.
Yeah,
brown suede loafers.
Yeah,
I like brown suede shoes because I discovered years and years ago that I can wear them with anything. You know, I can even wear them with a navy blue double-breasted suit, you know, or with jeans or with anything. So it's kind of my default shoe, you know. It's a and I like to travel with brown suede shoes because you don't have to take a shoe shine kit along. You just take a little brush, you know, and you brush them and. So that's my
Dan
my
is wearing brown suede right now.
I have brown suede shoes. By the way, another point you're making in your book is buying quality because it lasts. I got a pair of brown suede shoes on here. I bought it was in Italy, 1994 to cover the elevation of Archbishop William Keeler to Cardinal in the Vatican.
Okay.
I went over there for the Baltimore Sun. And the last thing I did before leaving town was go into an Italian shoe shop. And it was a gold mine. It really was beautiful. I bought those suede shoes, and so that's 21 years ago.
Well, you know, the Pope is around. Maybe it's time to buy a new suit.
Excuse me. I just want to do one thing with Chris. Can you finish that ensemble, the tie? You didn't describe the tie for Bruce.
The tie. So the tie is it's a handmade tie. It's 2.5 inches wide, so it's a little bit more narrow, but it matches the lapel look on here. Everything is about proportion, whether it's the look that I'm doing or the look that he has, everything just, when it fits you correctly, that's the other thing your eye is noticing. Cause we're, you know, what he's saying is that making snap judgments and understanding proportion of things, it's the reason why you don't want to walk a 2x4 through the door. It's not going to fit. You understand that things aren't going to, well, unless you turn it sideways,
right.
But you get the idea is that, back to this, is that this is a purple tie that has some lavender and navy in it that goes, and it has small geometric patterns that, you know, when you're wearing a suit that has this window pane in it and then a paisley shirt like this, I have kind of two major things going on in my outfit. So you have to tone it down with something so with the suit being pretty major and the shirt being major, then you want to make a minor with the tie. And so
it works for me. I like it. If I walked into your shop, though, I would think, man, is he going to want me to dress like
that's
that?
That's why we have all different types of looks.
I know.
That's the thing.
That's one of the things I would think of. I would think you're a cool guy.
Little disclaimer.
Knows what he's doing. Yeah.
Quick disclaimer, though. Yeah. So this opportunity for being here kind of came up, and where I'm going this evening is to be a judge for a fashion show that is.
And you're going to wear this?
Oh yeah,
okay.
because interior designers who designed clothing that was inspired by the Smithsonian museums, and they used all like carpet and drapery and in things that you would use
to make clothing.
Yes, and so I'm one of the judges. So,
it's
tonight. So my role tonight is a fashion judge.
I get you.
Yes. So that's the idea.
Hey, Bruce, we got a phone call here. A question for you, Bruce Boyer. This is George calling from Annapolis with a question for our guests. Hi, George.
Hello. Yeah, I feel real comfortable being part of this conversation since I'm wearing some brown suede sandals right now.
Brown suede sandals, okay.
But I'd like to know, I remember way back in the day, it was probably undoubtedly when IBM reps needed to wear navy blue suits and white shirts, that there was a columnist, a syndicated newspaper columnist, and I don't know why I'd remember this, but I think his name might have been John Malone, that preached that business suits should never be brown. And I'm just curious why, if there was anything in particular that led to that school of thought. And then secondly, was there anything in particular that brought that theory to its knees? At least I assume that it's no longer valid.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, absolutely. The guy's name was John Malloy, and he wrote a book that was very, very successful. It's the kind of thing that, you know, it makes a fashion guy like me envious. It was so popular. The book was called Dress for Success, and Malloy was of, and George is exactly right here, was of the kind of IBM school of dress, where you wore a dark suit, a white shirt, a discreet tie, black shoes, and that was it. That all, to me, came out of the post-war Eisenhower repressed 1950s. And what really broke the back of that, well, there were two things. There was, first of all, in the 60s, if I remember correctly, the hippie Summer of Love was 1967, and Woodstock was 68.
69.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That helped. And then there was something in the middle of the 60s called the Peacock Revolution, which came out of a street in London called Carnaby Street, where guys started to wear much more flamboyant dress and let their hair grow long and so forth. And those two things in combination broke the back of the John Malloy IBM Dress for Success look. And a good thing. I mean, I don't think myself that kind of look could have sustained itself very long. It was just too boring. And one thing that I remember guys saying at the time was, it was the reason that golf clothing was so flamboyant. You know, you would see guys wearing the dark suits during the week, and then on the weekend they'd be wearing sherbet-colored, corduroy slacks on the golf course. And the joke was that it was because during the week guys were so color deprived.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
that when
they
got out on the
splashy
golf
colors.
Course,
yeah, they wanted
they
to
went,
make a splash, right?
Yeah, they went absolutely mad. You know. So, that guy's name was John Malloy. He made a small fortune on his book, and then the trend changed, and he was completely forgotten.
That's G. Bruce Boyer, our guest this hour, along with Christopher Schaefer, Baltimore Taylor. Bruce Boyer's book is True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear. If you have a question for our guests, give us a call right now, 410-662-8780, or send me an email with a quick question. That's midday at WYPR.org. Another short break here on the first day of WYPR's Fall 2015 membership drive. Andy Bienstock and Sheila Cass standing by to tell you how you can be a supporter. And welcome back to our interview with Bruce Boyer, author of True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear, new from Basic Books, and Christopher Schaefer, Baltimore Taylor, who trades as Christopher Schaefer Clothier in Fells Point and also is the founder of Sharp Dressed Man. Please tell folks what that is.
That is a recycled suit program that we run, and what we do is people, it kind of started from a client of mine that I made clothes for, gave me a couple bags of his old clothes that were still in great shape, and he said, you spoiled me. These clothes, I don't want to wear.
I don't want to wear them
so
anymore.
They're very nice, yeah. But I want to wear clothes from you. He gave me these couple bags of clothes, and there was some really nice stuff in there. And I had to go about finding a home for them, and I didn't quite know where to go. And I talked to some friends, and one thing led to another, and I started working with a couple different nonprofit organizations like the Helping Up Mission and Living Classrooms, and ended up one thing led to another. We started a 501c3, and we've been working for the last 3 years with the Living Classrooms Foundation. They gave us space to house the clothing, and then we had about a 1,000 square foot space, and then we got downsized, and when that happened, our program was growing, and we just took over our own space on Park Avenue, 235 Park Avenue, and we have it's a storefront place, and we get donations in, and we give donations out to organizations that bring guys in who need clothes to get dressed to get back up on their feet.
Living Classrooms ex-offender program.
That's correct.
Men coming out of prison.
Right. So that's one group that we work with. Mm-hmm. But we're also starting to work with some other organizations that would, you know, it might be young students or vets or just, you know, a lot of different organizations of places where guys who could use the clothing so that they can get dressed and they look great and they can go out and get a job and get themselves back up and running.
It's called Sharp Dressed Man, like the ZZ Top song.
That's correct.
And it's on the web at sharpdressedman.org.
That's correct.
Okay. Nice. Good. Glad
Thank
you're
you.
Doing that. Way to go, Chris.
Thanks.
Questions for our guest. Bruce Boyer, we'll go back to you for the next question. This is Lily calling us from Columbia. Lily, go right ahead with your question.
Yes. Hi. I have a 27-year-old son who started his own tech business, you know, on the web, and it's just gotten very huge. And before, he used to go to work in a T-shirt, shorts, and a backward baseball cap, and he realizes that he needs to dress more adult-like, more business-like. So he bought a great blue blazer from Brooks Brothers, but he doesn't know what to do next.
Tell him to come and see me.
All right, Bruce, 27-year-old. What's your advice to mom here? How does she convey to her son that he needs to wear something nice with that blazer besides a pair of shorts, you know?
Sure.
That's
well, I mean, the first thing I would agree with Chris is go see Chris.
Thank you.
But I think, you know, he's already taken the first step. I mean, if you hadn't had said anything, I would have said, well, I think a navy blue blazer is the first step, because a navy blue blazer, you can dress it up or you can dress it down. It's a very versatile outfit. What he's wants to wear with the blazer, I think, is tan or gray slacks. I mean, in the summer, well, maybe I should back up a little bit. He's got a blazer, but is it a winter blazer or a summer blazer? I would really recommend that he had two blazers, one a lightweight blazer and one maybe a little heavier for winter. In the summer, you want to wear that with a pair of tanned cotton trousers, probably the easiest thing to do, and in the winter with a pair of gray flannel or worsted trousers. And then I suppose I would go back to Brooks Brothers or a store like that and get a couple of blue or white Oxford cloth button downs, and you're almost three-quarters of the way to having a nice little wardrobe.
But here's the thing.
Okay.
He's young. Yeah. He's in tech.
He's 27.
He's 27, right? And he still wants to dress cool. He's going to want, it's like, you can take the navy blazer idea, right? And you can do things like put a pewter button on it instead of a brass button, so it doesn't look like you just pulled up off your yacht. Guys that are 27, that's not their look.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what he's saying, you can take those ideas, personalize them a bit more, because if he's used to wearing shorts and a T-shirt, khakis and a blazer is probably not the look that he's going to want to go for. And if unless he's real conservative, which it doesn't sound like, Brooks Brothers might not be the route. I mean, they do some more slim-fitting clothing, but they're known more for their American loose kind of style. They make nice quality clothing, but it depends on what he wants his style to be like.
So you would take the blazer if he walked in and he said, I have this blazer, and you would build on that differently than what Bruce is suggesting.
First thing I would do is look at it and see how it fit him. Mm. Because you can take a very classic look, and if it fits him, like, how long is the jacket? Does the jacket look too... Everything right now, for younger guys, the jackets are shorter and the clothes are a little bit more fitted. And you can do that, and you can keep classic professional look in mind, but make it so that it's going to be his, especially the tech guys who don't have to dress. So he's a tech guy and he's an entrepreneur. So that means he's got kind of free rein to do what he wants to do, because he doesn't have to walk into a job every day and impress someone. So he can be himself, but he doesn't quite know what that means yet, because no one's kind of shown him the way.
Okay. We'll go to Meg next for another question. Meg, welcome to the show. You're on with Bruce Boyer and Christopher Schaefer.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Bruce. I know about Bruce because of our mutual friend Dusty Granger, who has one of the most amazing styles. He writes a blog.
He's an elegant man.
very elegant. He writes a blog called Max Minimus, which is just, it shows off his style. And Bruce, I just want to say I loved your quote in the Wall Street Journal the other day about black clothes.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm so glad that Meg brought that up, because from my reading of that, Bruce, it's very clear. You don't own anything black. You're anti-black when it comes to clothing.
Mm. I discovered I had two black items in my wardrobe. I had those black velvet Albert slippers, you know, that I wear with a tuxedo.
Oh, yeah.
So those are the only two things black that I have. And even my
But your tuxedo's not black. Your tuxedo.
No, it's midnight blue. I hate black. You know, for me to wear black, it looks like you're going to a funeral.
Well, what do you wear to a funeral?
I would wear black. I'd have to borrow a suit from somebody, you know, if I have
a black suit. It is a super 150s Armani it is a black herringbone, and I just had to wear it to a funeral last week.
Yeah.
And it's strange to be the best dressed person at a funeral, but that suit looks so good. It is just so clean, and it's a three-piece. I didn't wear it as a three-piece because it was warm. But when you're going to a black tie event, you know, that's a great look. I just had a client just was in this morning who was getting married, and he was wearing a black three-piece for him with a button that had a chrome and black. It was a black and chrome button with a black shirt and, like, a grayish tie. And it looked – but he was also, you know, he's a concert promoter.
And how old is he?
He's early 30s. Mm-hmm. And he's got – you know, he doesn't have long hair. But it's like – it looked like him. But he's getting married at the Four Seasons. I mean, and he looked just – it looked like a guy who never suits up. It looked like him. I can't say never. I wear a lot of black casually.
You never say never. But what I take from Bruce's comment on this is it's more challenging to look at colors and to conceive of yourself wearing colors than it is – black and white.
Well,
gray
black
and
is
black.
more of your evening attire or formal. Or
yeah, but also the hipster look too.
But that's the thing is, like, if someone does a black suit with us, then I always tell them, like, you can use this black jacket as a blazer. If you wear it, you know, you could wear it with a gray, you know, a mid gray, a light gray, even with jeans if you wanted to. If you wanted to go that look, there's a versatility in that. But I was going to say to Bruce, a
black wool blazer in the city. I kind of like that look in the city, but
it's I don't, and Chris just said something else that I really don't agree with, is breaking up a suit. I hate that idea, and most tailors do, by the way. A tailor very rarely will tell you that you can break up a suit, because he doesn't want to do that. He wants to
sew you a second pair of trousers with it. If you do a second pair of trousers,
well,
I recommend that to people all the time.
I would never.
Okay,
there's
a rule. Okay, what about a corduroy suit? How do we feel about corduroy generally, Bruce, and the corduroy suit?
Well, corduroy.
They make
corduroy.
They're great to break them up. You can wear them up separately.
Well, actually, you can break up a corduroy suit. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah. Corduroy's very much back in style this season, and I like it because it's very comfortable. It does tend to get rumpled, but some of us guys, you know, don't mind a few wrinkles. In fact, we kind of prefer them, and so I'm a big advocate of corduroy. And this season, I see a lot of corduroy in the designer collections. So I give it a stamp of approval.
Thank you, Bruce. Here's a question for Christopher Schaefer from Donna. During last week's Republican debate, I was completely distracted by Marco Rubio's spread collar. I find this particular collar skews too casual for such occasions, and I'm curious how your guest feels.
Well, I can't say that. I didn't see it, so I can't say. I know. I definitely know the spread collar. I don't know which knot he tied, and so that's the thing is if it's a spread collar, if you're doing it with a full Windsor knot, then it's going to look proportioned and it would look correct. What I see a lot of times, even when I'm watching the local news, is that there's a couple of people who wear, they'll do a spread collar, and then they do it with a four-in-hand knot, and it just doesn't look, it doesn't look right. So is this the Marco Rubio photo?
We were just pulling up a photograph. I see what she means. You know, I think she's saying it's not presidential.
Well, this is the thing.
He's got the wrong knot.
He's got a smaller knot. It doesn't look right with
and,
him.
And Bruce, maybe that's not what we want a president to wear.
A medium spread collar would be more presidential.
Presidents
usually dress as conservatively as they can. I think Obama wears a medium spread collar.
He does. He's a sharp dresser.
So, yeah, and I think he's a good. Well, I wouldn't call him a sharp dresser. I would call him an appropriate dresser. I think he dresses very nicely. Funnily enough, he dresses much better now than he did when he became president. I don't know whether his wife has been advising him, because she's a very chic woman, or whether he's had an advisor.
I believe Martin makes his suits.
Yeah, Martin does. Yeah, I know Martin. Martin is called the Secretary General of the Wardrobe. He's made clothes for a lot of guys. One of his big customers is Colin Powell.
Hey, Bruce, we're out of time, I'm sorry to say. I wish we had more time, because I'm really enjoying this conversation with Christopher Schaefer and G. Bruce Boyer, author of True Style, The History of Principles. History and Principles of Classic Menswear. And boy, it's really whet my appetite to get deeper into your book and think more about this and see Christopher Schaefer is up to in Fells Point, too.
Thank you.
So thank you very much, both of you. I'm sorry we're out of time, but I really have enjoyed this conversation. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for coming in today. I really enjoyed the conversation. Again, Bruce Boyer's book is True Style, The History and Principles of Classic Menswear from Basic Books, and Christopher Schaefer trades as Christopher Schaefer Clothier in Fells Point, and his nonprofit, again, is Sharp Dressed Man. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for tuning into our midday for today. We have to go off to a pitch break here. Andy Beanstalk and Sheila Cast pitching away, advising you on how to be a supporter of your public radio.